Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. This is a special hour-long episode of Totality of Circumstances, a monthly show dedicated to police oversight and accountability in Portland. My name is Sam Bowman.
And I'm Jasmine. Today we're really excited to have several members of the Police Accountability Commission in studio with us. The PAC is the all-volunteer body that is charged with creating the new police oversight and accountability system. That system was mandated by the voters way back in 2020 with Measure 26217 that passed by an overwhelming margin, and the PAC is nearing the end of the creative phase of their work. They're here to talk about the plan and what comes next, and in about 15 or 20 minutes, we'll start taking listener questions. If you want to join the conversation, there are a couple ways to do so. You can call us at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You can also send us an email at totalityradio@gmail.com, or you can use the chat with us feature at the bottom right of the KBOO website. The website seems to have recovered. If you were on it earlier today, it seems to be doing fine now. So yeah, here we go.
And we are joined by Connie Wone, Sophia Glenn, Casey Lewis, Tim Pitts, and on the phone, Angie Tomlinson. And thank you all so much for being with us here today. We're going to give you all a minute to introduce yourselves, and I think we'll start with Casey.
Thank you very much for having us. My name is Casey Lewis. I am a member of the Police Accountability Commission since December of 2022. I use he, him pronouns. I have been working in criminal justice policy for just about 7 years now. I've worked as both a criminal prosecutor and a public defense attorney, and I'm really excited to be here and share the work that we've been doing.
Hi, my name is Connie Wone. I use she, her pronouns. I was brought to this work specifically because accountability, I believe, for our community is at the bare minimum, and inherently racist and biased systems like police systems need the oversight of the community, if that will even help. But I think that's something we could discuss later, and thank you for having us.
I'm Tim Pitts. I'm a longtime resident of Northeast Portland, and I was drawn to this work by what I've seen is an erosion of trust that the community seems to feel for the police. And I think that that makes our city less safe when so many people don't feel like they can call the people that are supposed to protect them. And I'm hopeful that a new system of accountability will restore that trust and make for a safer city. And I use he, him pronouns.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Sophia Glenn. I'm also one of the commissioners on the Police Accountability Commission. I was one of the first ones who started, I think it was December 2020? I can't remember. But anyway, I was drawn to this work. I'm also part of an organization called the Pacific Northwest Family Circle, which is an organization who is members who have lost loved ones due to police violence or have been injured by police violence. And so I'm here trying to add some insight to some of the things that I've experienced myself and as a group we have to make some changes for the better here. So thank you.
Thank you all for introducing yourselves. And we also have on the phone Angie Tomlinson. Can you hear us okay, Angie?
Yes, I hope you can hear me. I am Angie Tomlinson, and I go by she, her pronouns. I became aware of the Police Accountability Commission soliciting applications about 2 years ago, and decided to apply. My life has been impacted by police brutality, and I wanted to ensure that my voice and the voice of the victims of police brutality were represented in the work of the Police Commission, Police Accountability Commission. And I was also one of the original members back in December 2020. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Angie. And we just wanted to kind of start the conversation by checking in with where the PAC is at with their work right now and what we're looking ahead to in the coming months.
So we are just wrapping up. We've just wrapped up our second to last phase of work. So we have created all of the documents that sort of form the basis of this new accountability system that we're going to be creating. Over the course of the next just about a month, we are going to be sort of transforming those documents into actual legal city code language that is going to be our proposal to the City Council to be passed into code and then approved by the U.S. Department of Justice, which is currently in a settled agreement with the City of Portland. So they have to have a say in whatever it is that we're going to be creating. But right now, we are really just working on ironing out sort of our final proposal. We're really in the finishing stretch of the work that's been going on over the course of the past 2.5 years.
And I know you have a vote coming up before City Council. That is the 31st of August, is that correct?
So our work is due the 31st of August. They have not scheduled the City Council vote yet, but we anticipate it will be sometime in September.
All right. And so we also wanted to check in. I know there's this is sort of the fun question, but is there any progress on what you're going to call this thing? We've always just been referring to it as the civilian board and the oversight agency that will support it. Where is that progress at now?
There's a lot of I don't know happening at the table right now for those of you at home.
We've been deliberating internally, and all of our meetings are public, so we've opened it up to the public. I feel like we're closing in on like maybe 3 to 5 names. We're pretty close.
Yeah, and we had a public poll that went out. We received a lot of input on what people wanted the board to be called and what people wanted the new agency that the board is going to be overseeing to be called. And I think our priority is really arriving on something that feels transparent and feels easy to understand so that people know when they have a complaint about police, they know where to go and what's going to happen. That's really our top priority.
But I think we haven't landed on the official single title yet.
But you have done a lot of work in fleshing out the answers to those two questions, which is where will people go if they have a complaint about the police and what will that process look like? So can you talk to us a little bit about what you've come up with there? Sophia.
I just wanted to say that we did vote on a name, and I am looking for the name right now so that I don't misspeak. But we did come across in one of our last meetings, we did vote on a name. It was a pretty interesting process for all of us because everyone has different ideas. But I will look that up. If I get it before the meeting is over, I will let you all know.
Awesome. Thank you. So one of the things that Sam and I talk about a lot when we're thinking about the Police Accountability Commission is that this is really represents something that's never happened before in the city of Portland, something that has been, you know, the first sort of efforts towards bringing in police accountability that functioned outside of the police bureau started 40 years ago with Commissioner Charles Jordan in a lot of sense, and the PIIAC, which was, you know, even farther removed from actually having any oversight. So it's been, you know, a long time coming, getting to the point where we might be at a place where it's not the police overseeing themselves. And we've had a lot of incremental change in that direction where, you know, kind of inching towards independence, but not getting quite there. So when the work that you all have been doing becomes a substance, becomes an actual bureau, and it's full of people, and they're doing all their work, it will be the first time in the history of the city of Portland that that's not being done by the police themselves. And it'll be the first time, and it'll also be a little bit of an outlier in the nation. Like, it's not that common for police oversight to really truly be in the hands of the people. So can you talk to us a little bit about how that, what, you envision being different from when someone comes in and files a complaint and that gets investigated? How is that different in the plan that you all are building than it is today?
I think the...
I'll let you speak, Casey. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's actually Tim. Thanks, Angie. Yeah, the main difference, I think, is just that this will be a community-driven and community-led, citizen-involved board. So there will be a board that is actually making, reviewing issues that have happened, and those will be community members appointed by city council. And then there will be an office that will be, you know, you asked where will the office be. We are not tasked with prescribing where the office will be, but it will be independent from the police department so that community members do feel safe to go there without fear of retaliation. And thus the goal is really to have a safe place where people know where it is, that has a clear name, that people understand what's going to happen there, and that it will be actual community members logically looking at things and investigating things and then making recommendations for changes where changes need to happen.
Thanks, Tim. And Angie, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I would like to add something. Yes, it's very important to us that the community members are leading this effort. But also, I wanted to mention that each case will have a liaison to assist with whoever is making the complaint. So there won't be complaints that just go out into the atmosphere and a twist in the wind, and that there will be some guidance for the people that are filing these complaints.
So let's talk, thank you, Angie. So let's talk a little bit about kind of the structure of the thing. What we're talking about is a bureau, a standalone bureau that will be within the city of Portland. Presumably, it will be within the portfolio of, if we were talking about the current system that we have, it would be in the within the portfolio of a city commissioner. There will be a director of that bureau, and that director will oversee a certain number of staff. The staff will do things like perform the investigations and all of the things that currently happen at the independent police review, or a lot of the things that currently happen at the independent police review, which it was under the city auditor's office before. And then there will be this side thing, which is this 33-member board that will be responsible for reviewing the information within these investigations and coming to conclusions. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that 33-person board will look like?
So I think, first of all, the thing that I would just clarify is that the board is not necessarily going to be kind of adjacent to this. The board is actually going to be responsible for hiring the director of that bureau. And they're going to be sort of the first and last word on the bureau's runnings, its policies, everything. They'll be hiring professional staff to, like you said, perform investigations, do the advocacy for people who are bringing complaints, things like that. But ultimately, the board is really the group that is in charge of this entire bureau. And that's really by design. That's what was given to us in the charter amendment, is the idea that we no longer want there to be someone who works for the police bureau or someone who sort of has political motivations potentially to be the person who's handing down these decisions. We really want it to be members of the community. And that's what this board is going to be. Like you said, it's going to be 33 people. They're going to be elected by city council. They're going to serve terms, sort of staggered terms, so that we make sure the board is sort of always kept at full staffing to be able to perform its function. And it's required to reflect the diversity of the city of Portland in terms of having communities that are historically over-policed or overly impacted by police violence, and in terms of just sort of the various ways in which Portland is a diverse city with diverse interests that should have a say in how it is policed. And so that board as a whole will make sort of policy decisions and recommendations, such as choosing the bureau director, such as if there are any policy recommendations to make to the city or the state that would let them do their job better, making those. And then individual panels of five board members will meet and actually be the people who are considering complaints against officers and making discipline decisions. So it will sort of have that dual responsibility of sort of the 10,000-yard Portland police oversight of the whole system, and then individually looking at the complaints. And I think what we envision is that those two roles will really inform each other and make the board better able to perform both of them.
Great. And Sophia?
Yes, I just got some information for the board name. So the Bureau is now going to be called the Office for Community-Based Police Accountability. And the board itself will be the Community Board for Police Accountability. So right. I just wanted to let you all know that.
Apologies for misspeaking. I might have missed that meeting or something.
No,
you
worries.
Don't have to apologize.
It was
for anything.
Just, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Yeah,
it was okay. Just recent. But also, I just wanted to go back to one of your questions as well about what makes this board or makes this different than the others. There's a couple different items that weren't mentioned prior, and one of them is that it is funded. Most boards are not funded. It's funded from 5% of the Portland Police's budget. And there's a couple other things, like there's the ability to compel testimony, and there's subpoena power. So there's a lot more power to this board than any other in the country that we know of. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we go to music and start soliciting callers, did anyone want to add anything to that? Great. We want to take a short musical break, and in the meantime, if you want to call and ask a question to members of the Police Accountability Commission, you can call the air room here at 503-231-8187. You can also email us at totalityradio@gmail.com. or use the Chat With Us feature on the KABU website. And again, one more time, that's 503-231-8187. Once again, I'm Sam, and I'm joined by
Jasmine,
and we are here in KABU Studios with members of the Police Accountability Commission, And we are taking your calls if you have any questions about their proposal for a new police oversight and accountability system. You can call us at 503-231-8187. And while we're waiting for calls, I wanted to follow up a little bit on what Commissioner Sophia Glenn was just discussing about the funding structure for the new system, which is pegged to 5% of the police bureau budget. And there have been some, I think it, that's the aspect of the plan that I've seen probably the most pushback from public officials. I think Commissioner Mingus Mapps back in May specifically brought up that is kind of the part that he might target for some changes. There have been some proposals for a budget oversight board, and Commissioner Rubio recently brought up possibly diverting some of the funding to support Portland Street Response. We were wondering what your reactions to these reactions have been as the folks who've been tasked with enacting what is now in the charter. And deciding how that money is going to be spent.
We've just been so focused on the work that we were given, and the work that we were given was to execute a program that will work within the city charter, and the 5% budget is a given to us. We don't have the ability to change that through our recommendations to council. So, frankly, we've had so much to do with developing the structure for this organization to make sure that it is what the community wanted when they voted 82% of the vote for this measure, that we're just focused on that, and that's not something that is within our scope.
And I would add to that, as part of our work, we've been doing a lot of research into other police accountability bodies, things like that, and having a dedicated source of funding is really considered a best practice. I mean, this is something that you don't want becoming a political football where if they're making decisions that the policymakers don't like, they're at risk of getting defunded and they have to worry about that sort of going back and forth. So I do think, as my fellow commissioner said, we are working with what we have been given by the vote that was taken by the people of Portland. And then as we've done our research, I think it's sort of borne out that it was good policy.
Can I also add something?
Absolutely.
This is Commissioner Angie. I also welcome a budget oversight committee if that is proposed and they are able to get a because I do feel that I think that the 5% is reasonable, or we aren't really dealing with that very much in our work right now, but I previously have worked for the city of Portland, and budget oversight committees are important to make sure that everything is kept on track, and hopefully it won't become a political budget oversight committee, but I don't think that a budget oversight committee is threatening our work at all. Thank you.
Yes, this is Sophia. There's just one more item I wanted to add. So there's the National Organization for Civilian Oversight and Law Enforcement, and they have these best practices, and one of those best practices for a successful oversight board is to have permanent funding. So the commission, the city commissioners who actually put this all together, who recommended the 5%, was doing a good job at that. So I don't know what's going on now. It's something that the city commissioners are discussing among themselves. And as we said before, we're not really going to get into that. We're just trying to do the work that was assigned to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a comment from the site. It says, sounds like the community board focus will be complaint driven. I thought it would look proactively at conditions like the way directives are organized and reviewed, and why lack of training is often cited as a reason for officers not being held accountable. And then the question is, please describe proactive attention to police accountability. Thank you very much for being here today. And that was from Beth.
I'm happy to start off. So I think the answer to your question really is, we're trying to envision a board that does both. And we really have gone through phases of this work that looks at both what is the complaint process going to look like, what is a disciplinary action against an individual officer going to look like, but we've also had a lot of discussion about how do we make this a system that isn't just reactive, but that can take that information from those complaints, can go out and seek other sort of more sort of systemic information about the police bureau, and can synthesize those things into being able to say, okay, here's the larger changes that you need to make to prevent this from happening again, not just to react to it having happened already. And so that's really what we envision this being. It's one of the reasons why we've recommended allocating the resources in the way that we have. And I think that's what we're hoping to see. And going specifically to the question about training, how a lot of the failings can sort of be blamed on training issues and stuff. Even in the individual cases against officers, we've specifically discussed having a finding that is training failure. So basically, the panel that is hearing a discipline case against an officer could find that there was a failure of training that led to their action, and could still find that the officer's action was not in compliance with policy or was in compliance with policy, but could then sort of take the additional step of saying we also need to rectify this issue with the training. So that is really, I mean, I think that the question asker is really on to the fact that we can't fix this system piecemeal. We have to have eyes on the entire system to really figure out where these problems are coming from and how we can solve them.
And I think, thanks, Beth, for your question. One of the most important things to remember is that this has not existed before. So by the nature of creating something that is new, it will have to be retrospective and retroactive in its action. And then once, like Casey was saying, we, you know, get a little bit of momentum, we see certain things that are proactively happening, we'll be able to be more proactive and institute more changes within the training and such. But in order to really build something, we have to like also deal with what harm and things have been created. So initially it will largely have to be something that like looks back.
Commissioner Sophia?
Yes, there's a couple other things we have worked on that's part of our work. It's what we call the continuous process improvement. So a part of that training, when the board is established, they will have staff to do the analysis on those types of things, and they will review all the cases and make recommendations for training with the police. I can't remember exactly, but we do have a whole section for training that we are reviewing right now for the board, and it is very encompassing. So I invite our listener to look on the Portland Accountability webpage. We should have a full draft, I believe, by August 3rd. I can't remember if that's the exact date, but to be public, but look for it right around that time. At this point, as we were saying earlier, we're reviewing all of our work as one piece of work instead of six phases, which once you start doing that, you start seeing some things that you may have missed or some things that didn't coordinate. So we are hoping to have all that done for a pre-review after the first week of August, I'll just say in general. Thank you.
And just quickly, I want to give that phone number again, 503-231-8187. And it sounds like, actually, we have Gordon on the line. Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. My concern is about the police collaboration that occurred during the demonstrations with the Proud Boys. And related to that, is there a vetting of new officers to exclude Nazis and Proud Boys from even becoming a police? And then related to that is also, is there a way to purge the Proud Boys sympathizers from the police force? some easy ones.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. Thanks for the easy ones. So another kind of question about how grand the scale will be. Yeah, can you hear us, Gordon?
Hello?
Oh. Did anybody want to take that question?
Well, I'd be happy to
go ahead.
Sort of speak to the second part as far as, you know, recruitment process or sort of purging officers due to associations. I don't know that that's something that's been discussed or considered as part of our scope. Rather, we're really focused on complaints that occur against individual officers, and then in that case, appropriate punishment would be levied as recommended by the community-based board. But as far as just due to associations, I don't think that that's anything that's in the scope of our work.
I will say that I think that one of the sort of knock-on effects that could come from this board going into effect and being effective is that our hope is that we're going to be creating a Portland Police Bureau that is no longer welcoming and hospitable to people who harbor bias, who have racist or homophobic or transphobic beliefs, because they no longer will feel like they can sort of exercise and display those beliefs to the community with impunity. Having a lack of an effective oversight and accountability body, I think, has created a culture within the Portland Police Bureau where people sort of think that they can get away with doing whatever they want, with treating whatever group they want, whatever way they want. And I think that having that effective accountability system and having people no longer feel like they can act that way means that we will have people who think that that's an appropriate way to treat the community will no longer feel welcome in the police bureau, will no longer want to work in the police bureau. And then the flip side of that is that people who genuinely want to serve their community, who genuinely want to serve all the members of their community equally, will feel more welcome in the Portland Police Bureau. Because there have been reports previously of how the Portland Police Bureau can't keep younger officers, can't keep more diverse officers, because of how unwelcoming an environment it can be for people like that. So I do think that while this board will not have the explicit authority to tell the Portland Police Bureau who to hire and who to fire, it will have an incredibly key role in creating the culture of the Bureau. And I think that that has the potential to make some big changes over time.
And before we go to the next caller, I just know we can't see Angie, so I wanted to give you a chance to jump in if you wanted to.
Thank you. I don't have anything to add. Thank you, Casey.
Okay, so we have Rashawn on the line. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry, Rashawn or Rashawn. Can you hear us?
It's Rashawn. I can hear you.
Okay, thanks, Rashawn. Welcome to KABU. What do you have for the commissioners?
So, as a born native here in Portland, Oregon, I've watched the development of PPD over the years. And when we go back to the time of 2008 with the death of Aaron Campbell and the movement that took place in the city, we're still in the aftermath of that. My question and or statement is, first, the statement part is that whenever we say that there is a training issue with the PPD, I think that's a little disingenuous, because they weren't trained, or maybe they were trained, but I don't think they were trained to handle and deal with the mentally ill, the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow, and the white. Because let's be real, the population of Portland, Oregon is mainly white. So PPD has mistreated Caucasian people as well. But that when you say that there may be a training issue, or there are findings in cases where there's a training issue, what that does is allow for more funding to go into the culture that already exists with regards to PPD. So my question to you is, how are you, with teeth and funding, going to be able to be a legitimate eye with a real love for the people of Portland in policing? Currently, we have a situation where the county is aiding drug usage, which is aiding the culture that causes crime, that causes people to be unsafe. So when you have the county on one end with a national experiment to basically legalize Schedule I drugs and create this climate that we have of Tent City, how are you all as a commission going to be able to reform the culture when there's a constant emphasis on needing to be retrained, when the truth is we just need people who are not afraid and who love other people to be law enforcement, to help citizens get jobs, to help them get off of the streets and to get home, rather than focus on this artificial training aspect when we have a culture of a brand new police force who the former outlaw lowered the standard to become a police officer in the attempt to recruit more police officers. But with a lesser educated police force, how are we going to deal and properly police people and truly serve and protect? Because PPD has never really served and protected. I'll take my comments off the air.
I appreciate that, Rasan. That's a great question. I want to throw that to the commissioners. I heard how with, and to quote the caller, with teeth and with the funding that the charter has given you, how will you be able to affect the culture of the Portland Police Bureau?
So this is Sophia. I want to step back and just say that the commission is not charged with actually doing those things. The commission has been charged with developing the structure to allow the new board to be able to do such things. There's been, I can't guarantee anything, but we are doing our best to look at some of those loopholes and trying to fill those in as we try and structure the new board and give the new board the ability within city code to actually do some of these things. Part of the issue that we've run up against as commissioners is finding that there's a lot of things that are outside of our wheelhouse. We don't have the powers to change laws, and we don't have the power to be a part of, let's say, the police bargaining unit. We don't have these rights. So as we work as a commission, what we're trying to do is find these loopholes, put these in the structure for the new board to empower the board to be able to do such things. Thank you.
Can I also just add that this new board will be made up of community members that have the same voice and the same view as the community wanting to change this culture. So hopefully, the work that we've done for the past 2 years, we have tried to carefully create how this board is going to work, and to make sure that the voice of the community is heard in their work. So thank you.
Thank you, Angie. Did anybody else want to add on to that?
Just really quickly, one of the phrases I have grown the most tired of reading during my time living in Portland is, the city declined to comment due to an ongoing investigation. That is a phrase that is used to hide so many evils in this city because the investigations go on and on and on for years until people get tired, people lose interest, people don't know even where to look for the outcome of the investigations. And so I think that's one of the things that this system is really trying to address, is we need to pull these things out from under the rocks they're hiding under. And the only way that you can really get justice is you have to have a group that is willing to say, here is what happened, and we don't think it's right that it happened. Ultimately, as some of my fellow commissioners have said, there are other systems in place that mean that while that group can impose discipline, there are ways to appeal it, overturn it, things like that. But that first step of not just kicking the can down the road forever, but really having a public and community-based process where the community understands where what is being investigated and what the results of those investigations are, I think is a huge step in the right direction.
And I'd just like to say, we hear you, Rahsaan. Like, that's part of the reason that we volunteered our time, is like, we're all like frustrated and concerned and don't fully understand how things will actually change as well. We're tasked with a job and we're trying to create a commission and a board that will at least become actionable steps in the right direction toward that change. And so I just want to acknowledge that we hear where you are and we understand that exact frustration and feeling.
All right. Thank you, Connie. And we do have another caller. I would just like to say really quick, the number is 503-231-8187. And I believe we have April on the line. April, are you there?
Yes, I am. So at the end of the last musical break, I believe it was one of the commissioners that was talking about the way that people wouldn't be totally screened out of the police force, but they were going to change the culture of the police force, which we've heard in one form or another for years. But what I didn't hear and would be interested in hearing much more discussion about is how they would change the police force, because, you know, we've heard that before.
All right. Thank you, April.
Thank you.
Would anyone like to jump in on that one?
I'm happy to talk about it and then sort of open things up for my fellow commissioners, because I think I'm the one who made that initial comment. I really think the first step is just a culture of accountability. Eventually, you want a culture where the values are such that there won't need to be accountability, because the officers will hold themselves accountable. They will hold themselves to a higher standard. They will hold themselves to a standard of justice, a standard of fair treatment to all different communities, people of color, people of different gender identities, people living with mental illness, all of those things. I think we can and must create that culture. But the first step to that is to get rid of a culture in which people feel like there are no consequences for not embracing those things. Because I think currently there is a great incentive for people who do not want to do that work, which is hard work. And it's important work. It's vital work. You shouldn't be able to be a police officer if you're not willing to do that work. But there's a lot of incentive right now for people who don't want to do that work to come and work on the Portland Police Bureau, because they know that they're not going to be held accountable if they don't do the work. So if we create a system that will hold people who don't do that work accountable, my hope is that the next step is that people who want to do that work, people who understand the importance of that work, people who want to make the city of Portland a better place and make the Portland Police Bureau a better place by doing that work, will be attracted to the Portland Police Bureau and will want to work as police officers in Portland.
So can I ask you one more question about your answer? Those are very fine words. There's nothing we haven't heard before. So you're saying that we need to change the culture, which we know, and you're hoping that that will attract people there. I mean, that's a wonderful idea, but what are you going to do to attract people that isn't being done? And what now is attracting police officers who do abuse the system?
So I think that the tool that we have in our toolbox, I mean, we've been really given a very narrow and specific task, which is creating this oversight board. So that's what we're able to do. We're not necessarily able to influence the training. the hiring, anything like that, at the Portland Police Bureau. That's certainly something that we hope that they, once this oversight board is created, we hope that the Bureau will be willing to take constructive criticism from it on some of those things. But what we are trying to do is creating, and why I think this is different from the other times that this has happened, because I hear you, I hear the fatigue, and we've heard it in so many of our public engagement sessions of people saying, well, we've heard people saying these same things for years and years and years, and it never pans out. And what we have this time that's different, and that we're hoping is going to lead to a different result, is that we have this overwhelming mandate from the people of Portland that says not only is this accountability body going to exist, but it's going to have dedicated funding, it's going to be completely independent from the police bureau, and it's going to be sort of the final word in these decisions regarding discipline of police officers. And so by creating something like that, that really has never existed in that form in Portland before, we're hoping to create a tool that will be able to affect those changes further down the line, and will frankly be able to work with other partners and other movements and all the other people doing the work of affecting those changes. It's not going to be able to do it alone, but it's going to be something that will be a part of the continued move towards improving this system.
I am glad to hear you say that you're really interested in that this time, although I heard the same, there's similar words before. I've been a lifelong Portland resident, and I would say that this has been an increasing problem ever since I was a teenager, so it's endemic. I hope this is just the start of a conversation. I hope you will consider actually, even if it's not on this commission, but like if you will start considering what actual criteria might be to attract people other than the people that are being attracted to the police force. And please don't let this conversation go away. I do want to hear continuing discussion both today and in the future.
Thanks so much, April. Thanks for calling in with your question, and thanks for continuing to be part of this conversation. We have about 10 minutes left. We're going to say one more time, the phone number if you want to call in is 503-231-8187. And then we're going to go to Tracy. Tracy, thank you for calling. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Welcome. What question do you have for the commissioners?
I wanted to know if you think that you're going to get a buy-in from the public and city council on the policy that you're presenting in September. Do you feel like the public is, it's something that they will like and something that the city council will go for?
I would say at this point we're certainly optimistic. We've had so many community engagement events and tried hard. We have dedicated public comment periods at the end of all of our meetings, which are public, and they're on Zoom, so it's easy for the public to join in. And what we've heard overwhelmingly is that they are supportive of what we're planning. As far as city council, we've had multiple meetings with them. We had a work session a couple months ago where they had the opportunity to sit with us and ask questions with no other agenda items, nothing else going on. And then we also make quarterly reports to them where they're able to give us their feedback. They can send us, you know, lists of concerns and we can address them. So we don't know, but we've been working really, really hard to put together a program that will work great for what the community wants and also addresses any concerns that city council expresses along the way.
Wonderful. Well, I've been watching and involved from afar, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tracy.
All right. Bye-bye.
And I had a question, but wanted to let anyone else jump in on that if you want to. All right. Just before we are wrapping up today, I wanted to ask something just about the mechanisms of accountability that you're putting in place, and especially in relation to the old system under IPR, which is sort of a collaboration, but it's split. The investigations are split between IPR and the Police Internal Affairs Division. And with this new board being able to impose discipline, or at least strongly propose discipline. Where is internal affairs going to be in this new system? Are they going to be interacting with the board at all?
So that's something of an ongoing discussion. We did finalize sort of our recommendations, but as we're putting them into code form and everything, I don't want to get too ahead of the rest of the commission before we state sort of what that's going to look like. I will say that I think that it is safe to say that the commission is in agreement with sort of the basic principle that the police should not be investigating themselves. And so the investigations are going to be of citizen complaints, are going to be moving completely under the purview of the new board, are going to be investigated entirely by investigators who are employed in the new bureau under the new director appointed by the new board. And so we are really looking at creating a pretty bright line between the police bureau and this board, and having all citizen complaints only be investigated on the board side. And I think that's really important from the point of view of community trust, because I think even if there is no issue with the way that internal affairs is investigating things, it's just difficult for the community to feel comfortable when you know that if you're bringing a complaint to the police, it might be investigated by one of the coworkers of the person you're complaining about. I think that it's sort of a situation of a system like this that people have to place so much trust in regarding incidents that have been very traumatic to them, or sometimes cause them to lose a loved one. A system like that has to be above reproach. And right now, regardless of what you think about the effectiveness of internal affairs, the effectiveness of the current investigative system, it just, the appearance, it is difficult to avoid the appearance of a conflict. So that's very important to us, is to have those cases and those complaints investigated entirely by this independent entity.
Well, we are, Commissioner Sophia.
Oh, I just wanted to add that we did interview internal affairs early on when the commission started. And I can't remember the name of, I think it was the director. They were amenable to moving some of those duties into the board. We don't know if they're going to change the name from internal affairs to do what is actually internal for the police versus what citizens' complaints. But, you know, we as a commission have talked about that a great deal, and we're still, as Commissioner Casey says, we're still working through the nuts and bolts and that. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. I think we're getting pretty close to wrapping up. We've got a couple of minutes left. Before we go, is there anyone else who has anything they want to say?
Thanks for listening in. This has been a lot of work, and it's nice to hear the community respond and show up and ask questions about the work. So,
and oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think the really important thing to realize is that this really is the beginning of the process. I think, as one of our earlier callers mentioned, this conversation is going to need to go on, and we're going to need people to actually apply to be on this board who are willing to continue, pick up the work that we're doing and keep it going. So I would just encourage anyone who's listening to this, who's found it interesting, who thinks it sounds like a worthwhile project, reach out to us, look on our website, get involved, and consider being a board member, and then come out and support us in September when this goes to a vote of the City Council. Let them know that this is an issue that's still important to you.
I just wanted to say that all of the commissioners on the commission, we are all a very diverse group. And I want to say to the community that we do hear you. And as a commission, we have really grinded over the same issues and how can we do this. Given this narrow scope, how can we make this thing better and different and not you know, have the same thing going on and on. And it has been a very big challenge. So as I, Commissioner Casey has said, we do need your support. If you can participate online in any of the meetings, you can submit comments via email, voicemail, snail mail, just about every means that there is. And I suggest that, you know, even if you just have a thought and you don't feel like it's connected to anything, we would be very welcome to hear that, because we do read them. We do answer emails. We do make phone calls when people want to discuss things with us as a commission. And we really need as many ears and as many brains and eyes as we can to make this thing work. Thank you.
All right. Did anyone else want to add anything before we wrap up?
Can I pipe in just really quickly? And I just want to thank the community for listening right now, and also go to Portland Police Accountability Commission to find out more information, because we do, the 20 of us are trying to represent the community as much as possible. We have had community outreach events, and we value your opinion and your feedback so much, because we are trying to make this system better for our entire community, and we need diverse voices. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Angie, Commissioner Sophia, Commissioner Tim, Commissioner Connie, and Commissioner Casey. We have been talking to members of the Police Accountability Commission, who are putting together a new proposal for police oversight and accountability in Portland.
And in case any of you forgot, tomorrow there is a community info session. And in case anyone wanted to ask a question that they were not able to ask tonight, the commissioners, or some of them, will be at a hybrid community info session tomorrow, July 26th, from 6 to 8 p.m., both on Zoom and in person at the Multnomah Arts Center in Southwest. And you can find the link for that at their website. And we just want to thank you all again for being here, and thank you to our board op, Ray, and to the news director, Althea, and to Arthur, who set up all this equipment. I hope you all have a wonderful night, and thank you again for being here. You've all been listening to Totality of Circumstances here on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. I'm Sam.
And I'm Jasmine. Have a good night.